I'm Mike Snyder.
And I'm Bill Wills.
And it's Wills and Snyder each and every morning from 5 till 9. Bill, we got a lot every day, don't we?
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Thanks for checking out today's podcast each and every day. Make sure you follow us and download the show. If you hear us in the morning, miss an interview or something, Mike, this is a great way to catch it on the podcast and normally around weekday morning.
At your convenience, at your time, whether we're talking to Terry Pluto, Tom Hamilton, whoever it is. Of course, I'm always focused on that sports end, Bill.
News, sports, traffic, and weather on the 10s. Mornings, it's Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Now, enjoy today's show. Filling up this morning, 283. Price to beat for a gallon of gas. More on your money at WTAM.com. Keyword money. This is Bill Wills. Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire alongside, posting a few things at Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Got a tribe win. We got more on the mask stuff. Who was wearing a mask when they were running anyway outdoors?
I didn't. Once I get out of the stores, I take it off. So I don't know.
And, boy, how about this usher out in the Dodger Stadium?
Now, I ushered and did security at when it was Jacobs Field for a few years.
Yeah,
I never had to do this.
We'll get to that coming up. Traffic and weather together on the 10s first. Here's Pat Bell. All righty, Pat. Weather, Cleveland 3 News forecast. Got a baseball game, Progressive Field, this afternoon. Let's see. What, 1:10 first pitch? Scattered shower storms going to move in. We'll be in the upper 70s. Tonight, scattered shower storms, 50s. A lot of rain on Thursday, and cooler. We'll be in the 50s. 69 at your severe weather station.
Expanding the Wills and Snyder universe with expanded interviews. Hear the Wills and Snyder Showgram podcast on our free iHeartRadio app.
Hey, a little tech coming up in 10. Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad. Friday, a big day for a new Apple product. When it comes to tracking stuff that you can't find, those little air tags. Derek will give a little review here of that new product on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. This is Bill Wills. Tribe with a 7-4 win. Big night for Fran Meal. Mike Sports coming up. We got highlights at Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Plus, Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire. A couple things. CDC relaxing the guidelines. President announced those yesterday.
Yes, he did.
And the president speaks to Congress and all of us tonight. He'll have his mask on, I guess, going in. Now, everybody in that room's been vaccinated.
They're right, only having two. Congress. And I thought I caught it where there's only going to be a couple hundred?
Yeah, because they got a social distance.
Right. So,
you know, you're not going to have room for everybody.
Now, when you watch the video, I'll tell you what, for the CDC stuff, when you watch a video, it's via ABC News at night. They give a chart, which is very interesting, Bill. They show you vaccinated, non-vaccinated, and with the mask, and everything's in green with the vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that's different with the mask out of the chart was that if you're in bigger areas, like sporting events, arenas, right, and stuff like that.
So if you've had the vaccine, they're suggesting then if you're outdoors,
right, you don't need
unless you're in an area real crowded.
Yeah, right. But how many of us have done that? When you get out of the store, do you take it off automatically?
Yeah, unless I got stuff in my hands, like,
right? Exactly.
Out of Bueller's and I got two bags. You can't do that.
Right.
All right. Also, Dodger Stadium. A little play-by-play here of the usher.
The usher on the field did not know where to go. This ball just keeps chasing him. Okay, what? Hills.
So the ball was coming at him, huh?
Right.
And
it
he
was
didn't
a,
know what to do.
This was a BB shot. Now, here's the thing. I understand getting out of the way and going, but I kind of thought he overdid it a bit, diving, doing a, you know, WWE diving over the
stage. Well, he knew he'd get a lot of video attention,
man,
probably.
Man, this guy could have got hurt, though, doing this.
Pulled a good move.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty quick.
But the ball never hit him.
Ball never hit him, and he dove right in the stands.
Well, you got to stay aware. If you're at a baseball game, you got to stay aware.
Oh, absolutely.
Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Those stories are up there. Good enough. Thanks, good.
You're welcome.
Go put your mask on now. 515 Sports, Union Home Mortgage Sports Desk. More on the tribe. Here's Mike.
And we get right to it as Fran Mill says, hey, guys, get on my back. Let's go.
Reyes swings and hits it. Deep to left. Forget about it. Another rocket. And Reyes has his second home run tonight. 7 on the year. And the Indians have a 4-3 lead.
Rays with two home runs leads the way. Indians get by the Twins 7-4. His two home runs were the length of about three football fields as the Indians notch their third straight win. Jose Ramirez also goes deep for the tribe. On Fran Mill, Terry Francona says,
he got some pitches he could handle, and he really took some good swings. And that's, you know, for him to, because he has the ability to kind of put us on his shoulders because they're not just going to be singles. So it's really helpful.
That is true. It's been a great week since Sunday since the Indians got that win against the Yankees, and now two in a row over the Twins. They'll try to make it a three-game sweep and a four-game win streak this afternoon as they'll send Logan Allen to the mound. He's been struggling. It's a 1-10 game time. On the mound last night, Aaron Civale battled through 7 2/3 innings to get his fourth win, while James Karinchak got a four-out save. Indians now 11-11 on the season. Cavaliers back home to host the Orlando Magic tonight. Seven players remain on their injured list. And as far as Kevin Love, well, we know he's apologized to the team for his actions on Monday. A report says the matter going forward will be handled internally. So we'll see if he's in the lineup or not tonight as the Cavs and Magic have a 7 o'clock tip. We'll have that game for you right here and free on the iHeartRadio app. Eve of the NFL draft, we got to hear from Browns owners Dee and Jimmy Haslam yesterday. They're excited to have the draft showcase Cleveland. And, of course, because of their success on the field, their pick this year is at 26, and it isn't all that exciting as previous years, of course.
Well, I mean, I think it's different because you're picking at 26 versus, like I said, a couple times we picked at 1. Both times we knew what we're going to do at 4, 10, et cetera. And it's, you know, there's tremendous number of great college players like there always are, but you know, it'd be nice if you could finish high and pick high, but it doesn't work that way. But
no, it doesn't, but this is a better spot to be, and we'll get into what they may be looking at. A lot of buzz that they may go for a wide receiver after Andrew Berry's remarks that about the draft this year, really looking at something as looking ahead. And, of course, with Beckham and Landry and their salaries, you're going to need to groom one. I would be shocked, though, if they did that with their first pick in the first round. The field is set for Saturday's running of the Kentucky Derby. Essential Quality is the morning line 2-5, 2-1 favorite. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, WTAM.
Big week when it comes to an Apple product. This is Bill Wills, Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad, is in with me. Hi, Derek.
Good morning, Bill.
The new Apple AirTags officially release on Friday. Now, a couple things here. First of all, for people that aren't into this stuff or they've got a smartphone, other than that, talk to me first and explain some of this technology, because the Bluetooth, the keychain fob is pretty popular right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this technology has been around for some time, but just like a lot of things, you have some that are really better executed than others. For a long time, really one of the most popular was Tile. Little devices that you just basically connect up to your keychain. People put them on the back of remotes, in their book bags, anything that could get lost or you just have to really find quickly before you leave. You just bring up the app on your phone. It uses Bluetooth to try to find you know, how far the distance signal, and then it even will ring a little speaker on the actual Tile itself. Just an easy way to kind of find your devices. They've just been really popular, lots of different styles. More and more people every week get more of these. Of course, you know, just like anything else, you eventually are going to get some competitors. In this case, Apple's finally, after 2 years of rumors of them releasing these, have announced their new AirTags. You can pre-order them now. And they will be available on Friday.
I tweeted out the story from Apple. Now, this was written by Apple. They say it's a small and elegantly designed accessory to keep. I love the way Apple talks about it. It's an elegant design. Unlike that, you know, that other thing, that fob. You don't want to go that route. So the AirTags are out officially on Friday for the release. How are these things priced?
The actual AirTags themselves are about $29 each, or you can get four for $99. One thing to keep in mind, just like you said, they are just a tiny little device. They just are essentially a round disc. In addition to that, you will need, in most cases, to look for accessories like an actual fob, a key fob to go around it. You know, you can, you know, just like we said, you know, essentially glue it to the back of your remote or put it into a pocket of a book bag or purse. But for a lot of people, they're going to want a key fob of some sort. Prices do vary. There are different manufacturers already who are starting to make these fobs for them. So, for example, Belkin has theirs for about $13. You can get really highly fashionable leather ones, obviously, from Apple, and I expect to see this really explode over the summer. all of these little accessories for that.
I saw you could even get them, you know, engraved, get your logo and names and all that sort of thing. So, so there's the price. They're released on Friday. How many of these things can you handle? I mean, is there a limit on these things?
Yeah, you can actually for every Apple ID that you have, it can actually track up to 16 of these devices. So pretty much more than enough for most people. The other nice thing is that if you do have if you've set up your phones, if you and your family have that family share network where you share apps and things like that, you can actually share the AirTags across that family share network, which is really nice. This way you can share devices. There's even ways for you to temporarily share devices with other people. Say somebody needs to borrow your car. You can get that if they do have the iPhone. They can also track those keys as well.
Yeah, I was looking at the video from Apple. I mean, if you got the once you get these little AirTags, you want it to find your keys, it'll point an arrow and say, oh, it's 20 feet to your right now. Just walk over there.
Yeah, that's the one nice thing about the primary difference between these and some of the existing Bluetooth keychain fobs is that this actually makes use of the new U1 chip that's in the iPhone 11 or newer.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like the tile, when you start the app up, it's kind of like Marco Polo, the old game, where it sits there and you know, as you walk around, you're listening for the tile to make its noise, and it gives you a rough signal strength. With the U1, it can even actually get more precise, where it literally, as you said, gets you an arrow that says it's exactly this direction, 20 feet to your right, kind of thing. So it will work with the older iPhones with that same functionality that the Tile does. But if you do have the newer phones, it does give a little bit better precision in exactly where those devices are.
Can you put one of these on your kid?
You can. Apple obviously doesn't want you to do that. They'll obviously recommend that you look at a an Apple Watch. I know people who actually do that. You get the Apple Watches that have the built-in phone
yeah.
around their wrist.
Right.
And they don't lose it.
Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad. The Apple AirTags release on Friday. Follow Derek on Twitter, Agent3012. Always good info. Derek, thanks, pal. 1100, just about 8 minutes away. Speaking of President Biden, yesterday, the president tacked on to sign the executive order that would raise wages for federal contract workers. With the order signed by the president, federal contract workers would be making at least $15 an hour. So for companies or contractors that do anything for the federal government, they have to pay at least $15 an hour. The president's going to speak to a joint session of Congress tonight.
I can also tell you that while the major policy announcement in the speech is, of course, the American Families Plan, a historic investment in education and child care, he will also use the speech as an opportunity to talk about many of his other priorities, including police reform, immigration, gun safety, his ongoing work to get the pandemic under control.
I'm looking forward to having a chance to speak to the American people about what's on my heart and about the conservative values that have led to some of the greatest accomplishments the world's ever known. Look forward to seeing y'all Wednesday night.
That is Senator Tim Scott. He'll have the reply from the Republicans tonight, along with spokesperson Psaki at the White House. Bring in Rory O'Neill, a little preview. What do we expect to hear? She talked about it a little bit. What do we think tonight?
More big spending, and that's on the agenda. The American Families Plan, that's in addition to the other infrastructure bill and the COVID relief package that was already passed. Combined with the jobs plan, the Families Plan will total up $4 trillion in spending. This American Families Plan includes about $200 billion set aside for free preschool for U.S. children ages 3 and 4. It also includes money for paid family leave, free community college as well. All this being paid for by doubling the capital gains tax rate on incomes over $1 million and hiking the top income tax bracket for households that earn more than $400,000. So this is just a proposal. We'll see how it sits with Congress, but the Biden administration is signaling it's willing to work on these numbers.
I don't think you'll see a standing ovation, and let's go ahead and vote tonight and pass the thing then, right?
No, and you won't see a crowded room either. You know, in a State of the Union address, about 1,600 people cram into the House chamber. Tonight, because of COVID, only about 200 people will be there. They will include the Supreme Court Chief Justice and the Secretaries of State and Defense. But, you know, there's going to be no designated survivor, which often happens on a State of the Union, because not all of the members of the cabinet will be in the same room at the same time.
So the optics will be COVID like we're living in. He'll do the walk down the center aisle, though, with the mask on, I guess.
Right, with the mask on. down, and then they'll take it off when he gets up to speak. But they'll try to recreate some of the pomp and circumstance associated with the State of the Union, but you're going to see a big empty room.
All right, big speech, though. Big plans to be laid out by President Biden tonight. Our Rory O'Neill with a preview. Thanks, Rory.
Thanks.
Even when you're talking about variants, indoors, outdoors, get vaccinated and you will certainly have a degree of protection.
President Biden echoing that message.
Go get vaccinated now.
Cases and deaths are down, down dramatically from where they were when I took office.
Dr. Fauci, President Biden, go now. Michael Bauer joins me. A lot of concern. We're starting to level off in the number of people that want to get vaccinated, looks like.
Yeah, that's the big concern right now. We're looking at a situation, though, even though COVID vaccines are now open to all U.S. adults over the age of 16, vaccinations in the country are on the decline. You've got states like Louisiana have stopped asking the federal government for its full allotment of COVID vaccine. About three quarters of Kansas counties have turned down new shipments of the vaccine at least once in the past month. And in Mississippi, officials have asked the federal government to ship vials in smaller packages so they don't go to waste. This is kind of what we're seeing here. And the rolling average across the country that we had been peaking out at about 3.4 million shots per day has slipped nearly 11% in the past week. So we're just over that 3 million threshold. And with 52% of U.S. adults having already received at least one shot and more than 34% being fully vaccinated, right now it seems like the country may be running low on adults that are eager to get that shot. And that's a question that at least health officials right now are trying to answer. Why is that? You've got some people who are just anti-vax to begin with, whether it was a COVID vaccine, the measles vaccine, didn't matter. They were not going to be interested in getting that vaccine. There are some people who are hesitant and are just waiting for more information, although I don't know what more information should be coming their direction. I think we all kind of have a pretty good idea. There are some people who feel like they don't have internet access to get to make an appointment someplace, and or they live too far away. There's all kinds of different elements that are coming into play here. But one thing is 100% sure, at least according to health officials in this country, we know that there are obstacles in the way. They're trying to do their best to get over those obstacles. But without the 20 to 30% of U.S. adults who are reluctant to get vaccinated right now, it will be difficult, if not impossible, Bill, for the country to bring the disease transmission to a halt. That means the pandemic could continue to drag on if we can't get to the herd immunity numbers that we need with that 20 to 30% of adults who are reluctant at this point.
Yeah, about 9.4 million, just here in Ohio, 9.4 million of us eligible, and not even 4 million Ohioans have completed the vaccine. So we're under 50% here, and you're right, to get to herd immunity, it looks like there's got to be a push, and right now it's not moving that direction. All right, Michael Bauer on it this morning. Michael, thanks much.
You got to stay safe, Bill.
In West Virginia, they're rolling out some money, $100 savings bonds. West Virginia trying to a new tactic to persuade young people to get the COVID-19 vaccine. The governor there has announced anyone in West Virginia 16 to 35 years of age who gets fully vaccinated gets a $100 savings bond. About 52% of the state's 1.5 million eligible people have received at least one dose. Governor said if at least 275,000 younger West Virginians get vaccinated, it'll increase the state's total to more than 70%. So that looks to be the what may be happening, that we're going to get some kind of bonuses or little perks, you know, to get vaccinated down the road. It's like we had SiriusXM. Pay the full price. Wait till you get close to Canada. They keep dropping the rate every month.
There you go.
It's 25. They found like $5. Well, you at least renew for $5 or something, you know?
Right.
So for the vaccine, it looks like they're going to start rolling out some offers. Anyway, West Virginia doing that. All right, 545, News Radio, WTAM 1100. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. All right, back on Kevin Love. These comments were at an interview with USA Today. Talked about mental health and his passion for getting that issue out, which is fabulous. And then they also had to bring up the play the other night.
Yes,
and he's,
yes.
You know, that's pretty much what I expect him to say, I guess. I didn't mean it to look that way, but it looked that way, right?
Yeah, well, I guess he did not, according to the article, that he didn't realize, I mean, the bad look. He was thinking that, I don't know what he was thinking.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because he wasn't thinking, and it was a mistake. Sounds like he's owned up to it to his teammates, and so, I don't know what the Cavs are going to do here. Are they going, we'll hear from JB later today, from the tone of what Love said yesterday, he does not expect to be suspended.
It's a bad look if they bench him. We're out of guys anyway.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but, yeah,
I mean,
well,
you
they
might,
are right
you
now.
You might fine him and just make it an internal thing. I mean, he's a, you know, he's a well, pro. He's
something's got to happen there, yeah. Right? I mean, and now seven guys are on the injured list. The same seven who were out the other night. So it was a terrible look. It really can't happen. And the fact that he did apologize, and you know, he says it wasn't right. About frustration with the way the team was playing, because we've seen that from him before. I think that's part of it, Bill. The history that we've had.
It's a long list we got with him. Once he wanted to be the guy,
right.
I mean, they went to him when they, you know, LeBron left. He says, "Yeah, I want to be the guy," and he hadn't been the guy.
And
that's just another example of not being the guy.
Right. And, you know, you're the guy out there. That just can't happen.
620 News Radio, WTAM 1100. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We'll see what Austin Carr thinks of that. He'll join us coming up at 8:20. Also, later this morning, we have reconnected with Dave Gilbert. Supposed to have him yesterday, but schedules got mixed up. The Destination Cleveland. I guess the tower, is that right, guys? The tower is going to be in the color of whoever's on the clock? Did everybody hear, Ron? That's pretty cool.
I think so, too.
Except when the Steelers are picking. Look a little odd, right? But that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Dave about that and some other things. And entertainment news, names, notes, trending this morning. What's going on? Here's Jason Nathanson.
In the 2 years since Season 3 debuted of the dark drama The Handmaid's Tale, the world has become considerably more dark, thanks in large part to the pandemic. But somehow, on a show about oppression and sexual assault, they keep it light, says star Bradley Whitford.
On this show, which deals with such operatic agony, it really is a joyous atmosphere.
Three new episodes of The Handmaid's Tale out today on Hulu, with a new episode coming each week.
But can't you see?
Britney Spears wants to talk. That's the message the singer's lawyer conveyed to the court Tuesday afternoon in a hearing over the conservatorship that controls her affairs and finances. No specifics on what Spears wants to say when she addresses the court, but the judge set a date for the appearance, June 23rd, in downtown Los Angeles. The last time Spears spoke to the court was 2 years ago, and it was a closed hearing. This year's Burning Man, once again a no-go because of the pandemic, saying, just too many uncertainties. And actress and lifestyle brand mogul Jessica Alba is 40 today. Jason Nathanson, ABC News.
Get on the golf course yesterday, and I was played nine holes and looked at my phone, and updating a couple emails, and looked at Twitter, and I saw a picture, great picture, Geraldo out on his boat. The way I played, I wish I was out on the boat with him yesterday. Speaking of boating, let's talk about the Catawba Island Boat Show cranking up this weekend. We get to see boats in the water, walk around, be with people. Michelle Burke is the president of the Lake Erie Marine Trade Association, heads this whole thing up. Hi, Michelle. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Bill. I didn't know Geraldo has his boat in already.
Oh, yeah. He was out yesterday, unless it was a dated photo, but he looked pretty good.
I'm going to find out today.
Beautiful day to be being on the water yesterday. Okay, let's talk about boating. Catawba Island this weekend. This traditionally always a wonderful boat show, and we're looking forward to it this weekend, right?
Oh, and it's going to be even better this year. We have, honestly, more vendors than we have ever had at that show. Lots of great marine products, lots of great shopping. The weather's going to be gorgeous. We couldn't be more excited to be back in show business, too. It's great after the reprieve of COVID. We're ready to get back to work.
You know, it's one thing to be in the convention center. We've had some great shows over the years. Don't get me wrong. But there is something about seeing a boat sitting in the water. You really get a feel for what it's all about, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And then if, you know, it's a boat, you're like, hey, I'm interested in buying this. I want to test this out. Providing the lake conditions are good, you can go out and test drive that boat right there. There's nothing better than that.
On the Catawba Peninsula, the Catawba Island Boat Show.com has all the info, directions, if you haven't gone before. General admission, $8. What else do I need to know about it for this weekend?
I think you covered it. The Progressive Catawba Island Boat Show. It's Port Clinton, Ohio. People can look up Catawba Island Club for directions. Of course, everything is on CatawbaIslandBoatShow.com. I would highly recommend people get tickets ahead of time online so that they don't have to stand in line at the show. Plus, if you buy it ahead of time, there is a nice discount.
You guys doing the sailing thing again this year there?
We are. We've got Discover Sailing. We also have dockside discussions. We've got some of the fishing pros from Lake Erie Walleye Trail who are going to be there all weekend answering any fishing questions. We've got a staff at the On the Water Ohio booth there to answer your boating questions. We've got food trucks. I mean, it's going to be quite the kickoff party for boating season.
Hey, Michelle, there are people who bought a boat last year for the first time, really, in this pandemic. It was a big shot in the arm, literally, for boat sales. That person, I think, would get a lot out of this show as well, because you learn more about boating and learn more ways to enjoy the lake, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that was the whole idea, too, behind our On the Water Ohio booth, which is another one of our initiatives. So people could come and ask those questions. We're going to have a little setup there where they can even learn how to tie knots and tie up to a dock post and tie up to a mooring ball. So we really wanted to make it very approachable for them to come and learn a little bit more about boating.
Friday through Sunday, weather looks great. Should be fantastic. Be a part of it. CatawbaIslandBoatShow.com. Get those tickets in advance. Makes it much easier to get around and enjoy in person. Walking around right there on the water, seeing the beautiful boats, all the different booths, food options and things to really have some fun. Michelle Burke heads up our Lake Erie Marine Trade Association, the Progressive Catawba Island Boat Show this weekend. Michelle, thanks much.
Thank you so much, Bill. Hope to see you out there.
Something going on downtown.
And now, 5 good minutes.
Let's talk about it. Heads up Destination Cleveland. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Dave Gilbert, kind enough to give us a little time this morning. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
We're doing fine. You're a humble guy. Let me first say congratulations to you, the organization you lead, and everybody for getting this thing done, first of all.
Well, I appreciate it. It's going to be an incredibly exciting week for Cleveland. The eyes of the world, really the eyes of the world are going to be on us, probably 50 million viewers and a lot of people coming to town. We're going to see a lot of money flowing through here.
And Mike Snyder, the images from downtown just look fantastic with the stage and everything. Right?
Yeah, it really is cool, Dave, to really see the lakefront and that stage that the NFL has put together. It is just an impressive thing to observe, isn't it?
Yeah, they are so good at what they do, and it really is for people who haven't seen it themselves, just encourage them to go downtown. Because it's hard to imagine a temporary event that large being put on right down in our lakefront.
Well, it is so cool, and it's happening here. And really, Dave, the magnitude, you talk about it, like the people coming in. I know the hotels are bustling again. Was there a time, what did you really know? I mean, the faucet's not totally open in terms of people getting together, but was there a point in the winter where you were wondering would be able to even be this extensive in terms of having this draft?
Yeah, all winter, Mike. you know, the planning, you know, certainly was going on no matter what. But I don't think any of us knew for sure what this would look like. And it was probably about 2 months ago that the NFL made the final decision that no matter what, we're a go. You know, there was a lot of things that just you had to pull a trigger on one way or another. And even over these past couple months, a lot of continued moving pieces of how you do something like this. With the health and safety protocols that are needed. And so it, there's a lot of things that just haven't been done for an event this size or scale, other than maybe at the Super Bowl. And so a lot of moving pieces for sure.
Yeah, this is really for people to see something like this happening now, really the first really major event coming out of the pandemic. Dave, I wanted to ask you, you've been involved in bringing All-Star games, NCAA tournaments to town. How different is this NFL draft compared to even those kind of events?
Yeah, one thing that's so different about this, Mike, is that, A, it's a free event. So it becomes sort of this pilgrimage for NFL fans to come from around the country to just have a party, with the NFL as a backdrop and their favorite team as a backdrop. And while we aren't going to see 100,000 people coming to town, we're still going to see tens of thousands. And also just the enormity of the footprint. Just the outdoor NFL draft experience, which there are still tickets available for, has over 2 million square feet of outdoor space. And so it's just really cool for people to walk through and take in. And I think that does make it very different than anything we've seen.
Dave Gilbert, Destination Cleveland with us. Also downtown, look for the Rock the Clock end zones will be set up at Playhouse Square, Mall C, the Flats East Bank, different places for you to also enjoy downtown. And Mike, I think that's also been key, getting everything involved, everybody involved downtown to host this thing.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, Dave, too, the fact that this is 3 days of really national television exposure, too.
Yeah, you know, last year the draft was watched by 55 million viewers, and we expect certainly numbers similar to that this year. And Bill, you mentioned the Rock the Clock end zones.
Yeah,
we that's the kind of thing that we did way above and beyond what the NFL asked for, called for, because we wanted to make sure that we had as many spaces available, outdoor and distanced, for people from our community or coming in from out of town to enjoy Cleveland. So if you go to Mall C, we as of today, we have over 200 picnic tables set up, socially distanced. We'll have big screens to show the draft live. You can listen to the concerts there. You can watch the fireworks from there. Playhouse Square, Flatties Bank also. And it just, we want to make sure that when people are coming here, they absolutely see the best of Cleveland. We have to take full advantage of this opportunity.
Dave Gilbert, Destination Cleveland. Let me get you out of here on this. Mayor Jackson this week also proposing the creation of a new division within the administration to specifically look at tourism, looking at getting more events to our town. So my question to you don't technically work for the city. You sell the city. Have you had enough support? Is this something you think will help or hinder what you do?
Well, I'd say, yes, the two organizations I run, Greater Cleveland Sports Commission, Destination Cleveland, they're both nonprofit organizations. And quite frankly, that allows for a lot of flexibility. We are not city, county organizations. We work very closely with the city, very closely with the county, but it allows us really to act very much like a business. And what we do and how we compete to attract these events in how we run and manage the events is a business. And it's a business done on behalf of our community. The beneficiary is not us. The beneficiary is the whole community from the dollars that are spent. We have a tremendous relationship with the city, and if this can help the efforts, we'd be all for it.
Dave Gilbert, our town is on the clock, and it looks like we are ready. Dave, all the best. Congrats. Thanks much.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you both. Take care.
First, a little bit of President Biden spokesperson Psaki and Senator Tim Scott about this speech tonight.
I can also tell you that the major policy announcement in the speech is, of course, the American Families Plan, a historic investment in education and child care. He will also use the speech as an opportunity to talk about many of his other priorities, including police reform, immigration, gun safety, his ongoing work to get the pandemic under control.
I'm looking forward to having a chance to speak to the American people about what's on my heart and about the conservative values that have led to some of the greatest accomplishments the world's ever known. Look forward to seeing y'all.
Senator Tim Scott, Republican. He'll have the rebuttal, as it's called, of course. Not technically a State of the Union, but still, it's the president, joint session of Congress. 16th District Congressman Anthony Gonzalez with me on this, and a couple other pieces of legislation have caught my eye that you're working on. Good morning, sir, first of all.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We talked a few weeks ago after this push through for the first big piece of legislation with the COVID response, and you had concerns about the administration not reaching out enough. And I've read this over and over. It's one thing to say you're reaching across the aisle. I think you made the point, look, if they want to spend some more money, they'd better get more consensus. Do you, with what he sounds like he wants to address tonight, are you sensing any more consensus from the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, any reaching out?
Honestly, no. I mean, so they do this wonderful thing where they say they want to be bipartisan, and they talk about how they're meeting with folks, and then when it comes time to actually putting the bill together, they cut the Republicans out and they just do it all on their own. That's their choice. I mean, they can go down that path, but I would argue it's a very dangerous path and it's a slippery slope. So I'm not at all optimistic with respect to the second piece of legislation, the American Families Act, or whatever they're calling it, the additional $2 trillion. I don't suspect that'll be bipartisan at all based on what I'm seeing. But, time will tell. I hope they start governing how they told the American people they would govern and not do it all on their own. But time will tell.
In your district and all around, it's a strange time. It looks like every business is looking for someone to work, yet Washington wants to continually extend unemployment benefits.
Yeah, honestly, Bill, this is the biggest challenge that our employers are facing right now. When I talk to people, and it doesn't matter what industry, it can be restaurants, it can be manufacturing, it can be accounting firms, everybody has help wanted signs, everybody's looking for employees, and they can't get them. And they can't get them because, we're paying $300 a week tax-free and unemployment insurance in addition to what the state's kicking in. And for a lot of folks, it's more advantageous to just stay home and collect the unemployment, and they'll come back in September. Well, that's putting an enormous strain on our businesses. And what I've heard from some employers who've been in business a very long time is this is the worst labor market that they've seen in the last 30 years. And so we need smart policies that are going to get people back to work and allow them to build the life of their choosing and not simply sit on the sidelines and take the unemployment check.
16th District Congressman Anthony Gonzalez, for a couple more minutes while I got you. I know you're busy, but I wanted to ask you about a couple things I saw on your website, and great way to communicate with everybody about what you're doing, or anybody in Congress, of course. Just, I mean, look, and there are two things that caught my eye. I think we're all in agreement, you never can do enough for veterans. And when it comes to veterans getting back into regular life, mental health issues are a lot of a concern. And you, and I know many others, have worked on this piece of legislation when it comes to the mental health part of more support for veterans. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so, you know, the one area where we do find good bipartisan support typically is in taking care of our veterans. We don't always agree on all the specifics, but generally, both sides of the aisle agree we need to do a better job there. And so what we've been leading is legislation, not just legislation, but also increased funding through appropriations to make sure that we are providing the right amount of mental health support for our veterans. Veteran suicide is an enormous challenge that we face in our country, as is homelessness. We have some homelessness legislation to take care of our veterans on that front as well. And to me, it's sort of a question of, you know, what are your priorities? And if you want to know what your priorities are, you should look at how you spend your money. And I want to make sure that when we're spending federal dollars, that we're doing all we can to take care of our veterans as they transition out of service and into civilian life, to make sure that they have all the support that they need.
Hey, finally, one other note here, and it interesting debate a lot of people have about college athletics, and you played, you looked up in the stand, you had the scholarship, yet you know a lot of money was changing hands. And I know even Jay Billis has been very vocal about the NCAA, what they're doing and not doing. You also reintroduced this legislation, at least try and get on the books, about the likeness that and the image and a student athlete owning that, right?
Yeah, so what this would do is it would extend what is an economic right that every American has with the exception of the college athlete. It would extend the right to market yourself, essentially, to the college athlete. Again, they're the only ones that I'm aware of who can't do this. I think it's common sense. And frankly, I think most people are on board with it at this point, even the NCAA. You know, we might disagree on some of the specifics, but generally speaking, everybody agrees this is a step we need to take. And I think it's important, and it'll help every athlete. You know, there's a thought that, well, this is just for football and basketball. It's really not. My wife was a college swimmer at Stanford University, which is a very expensive city, Palo Alto. And, you know, she couldn't teach swim lessons. So she's not on a full scholarship. She's working basically full-time to be a swimmer, full-time to be a student. You want to make, you know, a few extra dollars teaching a swim lesson, you can't do it under the current rules because of the name, image, and likeness restrictions. So, yes, you know, college football and basketball, those folks will probably make, you know, a good bit of money, or more money certainly than a swimmer maybe. But,
right.
But it's important for all athletes to just have an opportunity to, you know, you're in college, you're dirt poor. It's your opportunity to make a few extra dollars to pay some bills and get through school and graduate without debt.
16th District Congressman Anthony Gonzalez, thanks for checking in. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Bill.
Take care. 824 News Radio, WTAM 1100. Complete Cavaliers coverage. Our buddy, Mr. Cavalier, Austin Carr, joins us. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Cavs Update brought to you by Huntington Bank. If you need guidance on your money right now, talk to Huntington. And Austin, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Bill?
Good, partner. Hey, guys, let's get this Kevin Love situation dealt with first. And Austin, in fairness, Mike, read, if you would, what Kevin has said. This was an interview with USA Today. It was about mental health and some other things, but they also touched on what happened Monday. So first, yeah. Just for Austin to hear this.
Yeah, he spoke last night with USA Today, and he said to them the intent there was not malicious. It wasn't against the team. He said it was the officiating. He didn't want to talk more about that for fear of getting fined more dollars. He said, when I snagged the ball, I didn't realize it was even inbounds. I was a little thrown off. I was going to grab it and throw it back into the passing ball to Darius Garland and move on. I get the optics. That's something I have to take on the chin and understand that was a very bad look. Says he apologized to everybody. They says they understand it was a quick moment, and he feels that it'll be handled internally going forward and that everybody will be able to move on.
Makes sense to you, Austin. At the end of the day, as a fan, it was just a bad look the other night.
Yeah, it was that way. It didn't look, especially with the situation in the game. But at the same time, what I think happened with him is frustration got to him. He was frustrated, and when you get frustrated, sometimes you kind of react instead of thinking about what you're doing. And I think that's all it was for him. Because you could already tell when he let the ball go. He realized, and it was too late then, you know. But it was a tough situation, especially as our leader. But I do like the fact that he apologized. He went in there and he stood up like a man and dealt with his teammates. Because believe me, the young Cavs really have, that's something that they have to deal with and learn how to handle. And it's just part of the growth. I mean, to me, the franchise has had a tough year, and just like everybody's, but we've had a tough year. But, you know, we got to find a way to dig ourselves out of the situation. That's all.
And that's the thing, Austin. There are a lot of young players, and that's what was disappointing. And we'll hear from JB more later today as they go forward now. But that was the thing for the young guys to see that. As you say, frustration, yeah, everybody gets to it. There were some calls he didn't like. But that was a point where they were really scrapping, Austin. That was the thing. As shorthanded as they were, you know, within it was a two-possession game at that point when he just kind of lost it.
Right, again, and he knows as a veteran that you got to keep control of your senses in all those situations. He knows that, but again, he's human, so he kind of got himself out of his normal thinking and understanding the situation of the game. Because the one thing that you always know, you got to know time and situation as a professional. You have to know that at all times, and he kind of let that get away from him. And I know he's dreading all this right now. I mean, because it went all the way across the country, and I know it's a tough situation. I'm anxious to see how everything unfolds from this point on.
Yeah, he even said it. He understands the look. It's a bad one, and he just has to take it on the chin. Austin, you look at this team, and right now seven players will be on the injured list again tonight. I think we've seen some individual player development, but it's really hard to get a feel for this group collectively because they really haven't had all their players together for any period of time, have they?
Yeah, that's what I mean by a tough year. It's just been hard to gauge what they really have, and because they haven't had a chance to play at least 20 games all together. So, you know, but at the same time, with the injury situation, it might not ever happen. So you have to be able to make some kind of a decision on what's going on out on the floor with what you have, because it's not like the injuries are coming every 50 games. They're coming quite a bit. So this might be the debt that you're dealt. So you have to learn how to deal with that. And I think that's what's been the one thing that's holding everything back, is that they just can't get a good idea because they can't keep everybody healthy. And I attribute a lot of it to the whole situation of the amount of games and how they're playing them, they're squeezing them in. I mean, playing them every other day like they are, and then you throw in a couple back-to-backs. It can be tough on you physically, and I think that's, and especially with injuries, I mean, it's just tough. But at the same time, if you look at the other side of it, if you take a situation like this and think positive about it, that all these guys are getting playing time. That's valuable. And that kind of playing time is what you need to strengthen your team once you do get back to good health. So, you know, I like I say, I kind of look at it both ways, but I kind of like to look at it on the positive side, because It gets a little deep when you get too deep into the negative side of it.
Well said. Good take. Mr. Cavalier, Austin Carr, Cavs Magic tonight. Tip off at 7. Cavs warm up at 6:30. WTAM 1100. And, of course, free on the iHeartRadio app. Austin, thanks, pal.
All right, guys, have a good day.
Let's talk some Tribe right now. News Radio, WTAM 1100, the Tom Hamilton Report. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, brought to you by Metro Lexus. We invite you to experience amazing 7-4 win last night and Fran Meehl with the big home runs. Tommy, good morning.
Good morning, Bill and Mike.
You know, I hit a 5-wood out of the rough yesterday, and it launched. And I said to myself, is that close to a 2-iron at all? Not quite, but Tom, what? I mean, Reyes, he's launching the ball last night. Unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh. Those three, the two by Fran Mill and the one by Jose.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a fan and you try to catch that, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be in the emergency ward soon after that attempt because, I mean, I don't know, guys, that I've ever seen three balls hit harder in the same game, you know, by one ball club. I mean, those were incredible, and you kind of got a feeling when you watched BP last night for both clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like July, 83 degrees, wind was blowing out. Batting practice looked like home run derby here when the All-Star game was on, and it carried through during the game for the Indians.
Tom, there may be a night where Fronville hits that scoreboard, huh?
Well, I tell you what, Mike, that's as close as I can remember. Of course, you know how that is. We're prisoner of the moment. But outside of Mark McGwire when he hit it off Oral Hershiser back in the 90s, that to me is about as close as I can recollect us seeing a ball up there. I mean, that ball where it landed in the bleachers was parallel and maybe even a little bit higher when you look at the walkway bridge that connects the garage mm-hmm. to the ballpark. I mean, that there just aren't many people that get to that point in the ballpark.
That's like something unhuman. It's great. We were talking with you about Fran Mill the other day. And then on the mound, I tell you, Tom, what I've really been impressed. I think really from his major league debut, Aaron Civale's composure, the way he goes about it out there is really impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, and he kind of flies under the radar, Mike. I mean, because obviously in Shane Bieber, you have, if not the best, certainly one of the three best pitchers probably in the game. You know, I think Zach Plesac has come in and, you know, probably had a little bigger reputation, so to speak. And, you know, he's the nephew of a former major leaguer. And Zach's got that personality where he's, you know, he really comes at you and whatnot. I just, you know, Aaron, that's kind of his personality. Very low key, kind of flies under the radar, but I'm with you. He really competes. And he gives you 7-8 innings every time out. And last night he made in-game adjustments. You know, that's the mark of a really good pitcher. And, boy, with those three, again, the Indians match up pretty favorably with any other trio of starters on American League clubs.
Tom, this afternoon, series finale, Logan Allen takes them on. We know he had a great spring and was okay his first couple of starts. He has struggled. That's a big start for him today, isn't it?
I agree, especially the way Sam Hinches has looked. And I think the key to this season for the Indians is going to be what they get out of their fourth and fifth starters. Guys, in the past, when you had Kluber, Bauer, Clevinger, Carrasco, and Bieber, the difference was, as good as your ace was, sometimes that was a wash if you made a matchup with another team's ace. Where the Indians always were better were starters 2 through 5. They always had the advantage over the opponent. Right now, the Indians match up, like we just said, with the top three, with pretty much anyone. What the Indians get from Logan Allen, Tristan McKenzie, maybe eventually Sam Hinches, that to me is going to be the key to your season. What you get from your fourth and fifth starters, and can a Logan Allen settle in and like you say, pitch the way he did in spring training?
Great takeaways. Tom Hamilton on the Tribe. We got a 110 first pitch today. That means the Dollar Bank Tribe Insider presented by Brew Kettle goes at high noon. Hammy and Rosie with the call at 110. You got to get all that stuff in, man. You got to get all that in.
No. I don't know. Will's talking about his 5-wood. I got to ask you, Hammy, what's this? I'm hearing a lot about you and a 2-iron. Is there any more I should know about that?
I could never hit a 2-iron. And secondly, Bill has never been in the rough. Well, he's always down the middle of the fairway. And if the ball is in the rough, the foot wedge has it back in the fairway.
Yeah, he always has a good lie, doesn't he?
You guys done? I saw no birdies yesterday, but there were a couple of buzzards over me as I was walking. know what they know. Hammy, thanks, pal.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
See you, guys. I'm bringing Dr. Simone Wilds, our infectious disease physician at South Shore. We have talked to him many times, of course, really over the last year in this pandemic. A couple things. CDC had some new guidelines yesterday. President Biden announced them. Let's set that first and what they mean.
The new guidelines yesterday really gives, especially people who are fully vaccinated, a reprieve from the mask. And so when you're outdoors, when you're with a small group of individual, like a restaurant that's known to you, you can go without your mask. However, those that are unvaccinated still have to continue to wear their mask in most settings. And one thing that's really important for both unvaccinated and fully vaccinated individuals, we still want you to wear your mask in crowded outdoor events like a concert, some sporting event. You still have to wear your mask.
Doctor, I want to ask you about me. I'm not alone. I chose to get the vaccine. I got my second shot now a week ago. So I got it's Pfizer. So I got my second shot a week ago. I'm getting close to be what you would call, quote, fully vaccinated then?
Yes. So key thing is you are fully vaccinated 14 days after your second dose, if you're getting a two-dose series.
Right.
And if you got the one dose, it's still 14 days. And the reason that we need 14 days is because we want to get your body enough time to build antibodies so that you can have immunity just in case you're exposed to the coronavirus. So really important that it's 14 days that people are know that they're fully vaccinated.
The other thing of this, it has to be frustrating for you and so many that are encouraging us to get vaccinated. It seems like we've almost leveled off. There's now vaccine available here in Ohio, other states. People in some cases aren't showing up for the second shot. That has to be concerning because we need to get to that herd immunity level, right?
Yes, Bill, this part is really challenging because, you know, right now, as you said, and it's happening across the country, that a lot of people are not going for their second dose, which really is a problem, right? Because if you just get one dose, you're not fully vaccinated. And also those people that have decided that they're not going to get the vaccine. So this part of the road is a little bit more difficult, but I think we just have to keep continuing talking about how safe, how effective the vaccine is, and really try to reach people where they are and stress the importance of getting the vaccine.
Our visits have been almost a year now. You've been so kind and wonderful advice throughout this pandemic. Dr. Simone Wilds, infectious disease physician at South Shore. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you. Be safe.
8:57, back in the morning on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Steiner. News, sports, traffic and weather together on the 10s. Fox updates, Bacon of the Draft, NFL Network's Chris Rose. Yeah, that guy. About this time tomorrow morning. This is Bill Wills. Thanks for being here. Have a great day. Go try.